entrepreneurship, small business creation, home ownership, and collaboration have always been the backbone of our local economies. With all of that under threat and communities fighting against further division, Conversation Mill turns on the mic for everyday difference makers in our local communities. Whether they be farmers, mayors, builders, creators, or doers. Every week, join me, Rebecca Dale, here in Conversation. Passion is underappreciated. For years, when I reflected on topics like our food supplies in America, who controls it, and why eating locally grown whole foods is considered nearly impossible outside of a few progressive restaurants, I get extremely passionate. And frankly, I get frustrated. I get frustrated hearing how moving the needle is impossible. And as a realist, maybe it is. But what I think has always frustrated me the most is the refusal of the many to look at the realities of what is happening to the animals that we consume, to the ingredients being grown, and the health consequences of those ingredients and of that meat. The fact that food companies and pharmaceutical companies will ignore this and simply continue to market to the masses and try to discredit those who might speak up. They won't change because change would cost money. And what food conglomerates and big pharma and our political leaders don't want to risk is any profits. But we could make radical change at the local level. We could support ethical, sustainable farmers. We could encourage those considering to start farming or those considering making the change to sustainable agriculture by buying locally grown food, locally raised cattle, chicken, pork. We'd be killing several birds with one stone, supporting local farmers, eating healthier, protecting our soil and environment, and disentangling ourselves from the greed machine that is factory farming and big pharma, and bring pride back to our farmers and our local communities. In this episode, I dig in with Farm Fresh Fast owner Jonathan Willis on what drives his passion for local, ethical, whole foods, and so much more. I love Jonathan's passion for healthy food, for the truth when it comes to what we are being sold, and about how corporate greed led to not only a dangerous precedent in how our food is grown or raised, but also how it is sold to us, or how others might mislead or misunderstand what is truly U.S.-grown beef, for example, or what organic actually is. I hope this episode makes you feel as passionate as Jonathan and I to support local farmers, to support local restaurants like Jonathan's, and to take more of a stand against corporate greed. I'll catch you on the other side of this conversation. Okay, so I want to start like in the present and then maybe kind of work backwards a little bit. But what I want to start with is what made me reach out to you in the first place,
right,
which was a social media post you posted. And I just want to read part of that caption because it'll kind of let our listeners know like why I started or why I reached out to you.
Sure.
And that post was, ever wake up one day and things just don't seem to make sense. The math is still math, but life isn't mathing right. Well, I personally went through that recently, most stirred up by the pricing of food. We're told that we live in a land of plenty, yet food prices seem not to reflect that. Then I started asking questions and things started to make a lot more sense. Not moral sense, but the picture was created, painted pretty clear, and that's greed overall. And now I plan to speak more on corporate greed in the following posts, but let's focus on what we're excited about announcing. So that caught my attention because
I'm always talking about corporate greed. And so I want to talk about the initiative that you're launching. But first, I want to talk a little bit more about what made you post that. And can you, you don't have to get super specific, but what was the corporate greed that spurred you to make that post?
Sure. So we've been doing this for a while. We've been doing this for about 7 years. And started off just as a meal prep company. I never really wanted to have a restaurant, but I just saw a need in the market for a healthy meal prep company that had a delivery service, whole nine yards when we first started. But then we started getting more farm to table. I come from tobacco farmers and coal miners. So okay. Like farming is just like, has been in our family for forever. Blue collar work, the whole nine. But we started doing a lot more farm to table. And I realized that I didn't really have a chance to really interact with customers as much as I wanted to and be able to explain things, you know, and mm-hmm. everything. So then we started. I never really, my this was to create the first farm-to-table fast food restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. That was like, people have a negative connotation with fast food, understandably so, with other entities. But with us, I figured that, well, like, there's a way to make this food healthy, right? Like a healthier right. version. And that's what we started with the meal prep, was taking not healthy, making a healthy version of it, right? Because mm-hmm. like, not everybody can just survive on chicken and rice. They need variety and everything. You know, we started off with the restaurant and like, it was wild. We had four menu items. And, but like, I went back actually and looked a couple of nights ago at our original menus and everything, but everything other than like the rice and was locally sourced, right? Mm-hmm. And from our buns that we used to get at Small Private Cafe back when they did those and everything. And, you know, I really didn't know what I was doing at the time, but I knew I had a vision, and that's literally what's kept us going for 7 years, right? And so we didn't have a food truck. We didn't have nothing, right? Like when yeah. we first started, like I was hell bent on doing this, and, you know, and we had a hard time with farmers when we first started. When I had the concept, and I was like, hey, I want to do this. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, sounds great. You know, but right. they've been burned so many times by other restaurants because these people, what people understand about farming, that everybody, I guess, thinks that it's easy. I don't know. Or just kind of, or maybe they glorify the farming aspect. Like, oh, it must be nice hanging out with their animals and everything. But man, it's so much work, you know,
it's
like
so much
it's
work.
So wild, the perception that people have on farming, because nobody really does it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's, you know, it's the picturesque, you know, rolling hills, and it's not like that, man. So anyway, as the, what's wild about the restaurant is that it's not, it's morphed into like, I had to compromise certain things and still holding on to my morals and values, but compromise certain things to make it make sense for consumers, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning that, you know, we came out the gate with local beef and everything and local, everything that we were doing, but people weren't really ready for it. You know what I mean? It was 2017. Not that, you know, I was looking at the questions from last night, and I did this quote I sent to myself and said, everyone will catch up. I'm just kind of ahead of my time. Mm-hmm. Since 2017, like, farm to table is nothing new. Like, everything's just kind of coming full circle, right? Like, okay. This is how people used to do farm to table long time. I mean, it wasn't called farm. It was just called life. You know what I mean? You ate from a right. farm, and if you didn't grow it, you got it from somebody down the road that sold it and grew it or whatever, or you bartered or traded or what. And that's how life was, right?
Yes.
For the longest time. And now we have all this, you know, conventional farming or whatever. And it's completely almost tainted the system a little bit of how things are grown and people. And of course, people don't show you how stuff happens because it's not the most ethical way, you know, that
right.
everything's being done now. And that's why prices are prices. And that's how it used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything now, though, to kind of get to where the corporate greed aspect comes into it, you have to see kind of like, you have to know the history. Like, we've been using Trail Place Farm in Roebuck, which we were the first restaurant that we were the first wholesale buyer of their beef and everything. And I met Travis and Misty and their family and everything, and I loved their mission that they had and everything. And they were just like, hey, man. And they were just like any normal farmer. You know, they had this land. It was a family farm. I went out on the farm. I saw all the cattle they had. All of them had perfect body conformation scores except for one. And that one was a pet by the kids. The kids wouldn't let them kill it. And it was just living its best life out there, eating until it passes away, right? And so, you know, now, that was then. Fast forward to now a little bit. These guys, we've been getting beef from every single week for 6.5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have their own processing facility. You know, they've been able to be blessed with that. And now they process on farm. And like I tell people, our beef doesn't leave the zip code until it comes to us mm-hmm. that day, right?
Yeah.
I know you want to get to the corporate greed, but you kind of, I got to figure out how to build up to that, because you don't know what it is until you,
yeah.
until you get to that, right?
Yeah.
So.
Take us there however we need
okay.
to get there.
Okay, gotcha. And I just want you to know that I'm getting there, I promise
yeah.
you. But so, you know, we had this vision of just getting everything we possibly could locally. Seemed like farming has been, when we first started, was kind of like haphazard a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, 2017, you can look at the roster of restaurants that were here, that were in downtown Greenville, or in Greenville at the time. Nobody was using local.
Mm-hmm.
Like microgreens, sure, it's down the street, right? Like that's not, and we've been using Upstate Greens, shout out those guys, for 7 years now, veteran owned, whole nine yards. But we wanted to take it a step further, right? Like, and I was always like wondering, like, why is nobody doing local mm-hmm. stuff, right? Like, you know, you get to the quality, you know exactly what's going on, right? Like I can go to the farm. If I could go to the farm, we didn't use them. If I didn't go to the farm, we didn't use them. I wanted to see the growing practices. Like anybody can say whatever they want to, but like, you know, I want to see it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course it's my word, but nobody else is doing it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so anyway, so like I said, we didn't have a soda machine when we first opened either. So we didn't have a food truck, soda machine, the most unconventional way of doing this. So we were getting multiple deliveries a week and everything, but the problem was is that everybody was growing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And pricing was crazy all over the place. Like some people were way up here, some people were down here. It just didn't seem like there was a rhyme or reason. And then you know, you would have your certified organic farms over here with their price and their premium. And then you would have your conventional farming over here that were not certified organic, but not, you know, not spending, you know, I don't know what you know about organic farming, but it's a long process to be certified. It's years. It's a year. It's like 6 years, I think, or at least last I checked or whatever. But
yeah, I actually worked on an organic farm when I was in college.
Okay.
So I've spent time with my hands in the soil and know sure. how long that process
yeah.
is.
Yeah. And so it's soil samples and, you know, you mess one thing up and then you know, you got to start over. And it's a whole deal and it's money involved and everything mm-hmm. else. So, and I've never understood why that we make these people that are growing things the way they're supposed to be grown. Organically, while we charge them, mm-hmm. while they have to pay more to get certified and everything, like why don't we find the people that aren't growing that way, you know, and charge them? What are we right. talking about? You know what I mean? So they're undercutting these people over here. Are like, no, I'm not certified organic. That's why I can sell it this way. Like they're undercutting the people that are practicing the way that needs to be done with no herbicides, no pesticides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make that make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense at all. So anyway, I would sit down with these farmers before we started and everything with the restaurant and all, and we planned with these farmers. And I'm like, hey, look, you know, the first planning, rough, right? Like I didn't know. I'm like, dude, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Whatever. I had this idea and this is what we're going to do, whatever. So people weren't growing specifically for us for the first year, really. But from there on out, we were sitting down with all kinds of farmers and saying like, hey, look, what do you want to grow? Don't grow something that you don't know how to grow. You've never grown before. Like I'll find somebody for that or we'll outsource that, whatever, you know, grow what you're good at, you know, get that yield. I know nothing in farming is guaranteed, but you know, like some people we would pay ahead of time. Like, hey, look, it's nothing's guaranteed in farming. Right. I'm like, hey, look, like if you're growing this for me, like 100%, here's half up front. And that's a little bit more mind at ease, right? Because, you know, mm-hmm. anything can happen with these guys, right? And like right now, we're sitting with no bison. We're the only people in the upstate doing local bison, but we won't have bison maybe till July now. I just found out last night because they're having a hard time with processing because nobody else has bison locally and all that and stuff. And people don't realize how much larger they are than cattle. And it's just a different animal, right?
Yeah.
And literally. And it's hard, right?
Yeah.
So and nobody else is doing it. So like it's not like it's easily accessible. So, but, you know, when our customers are being really patient because I told them like, hey, look, like, you want that bison. I can't tell you how much you don't want to eat this other bison. After we found this bison, like this is our standard now, right? Like I literally go out and fish on that property. They allow me to come out there and fish whenever I want to. Right. and I'll go out there and see the bikes twice a week. Mm-hmm. I know what they're doing. I know the time that I got a phone call from Mike that said, hey, man, I'm not going to be able to deliver today. We have 7 bison that are out almost on the interstate right now. They got out and we're chasing them down the road. You know, and that's when people think it's easy. You know what I mean? Like, figure that one out, right? You know what I'm saying? Hundreds of pounds of animal running down the road with, you know,
right.
chaos on their mind. You know, like they don't know. So it's just wild. But we got to this crossroad of where what Jonathan really wanted out of this of, you know, you really shouldn't be drinking soda like that. You really shouldn't be. We were doing teas and fresh lemonades and all this kind of stuff that we're hand squeezing and local fruit and everything that we're putting in these and everything. But customers essentially were like, hey, I realized I wasn't going to reach as large of a demographic if I did. You know what I mean? It sounds stupid, but like, we don't reach a whole nother demographic because we don't have alcohol. Like, that's different in Simpsonville because 1885 next door, we still get those people here. But in Greenville, we're by ourselves and we don't have, but we have different attributes that have made us successful over the years. But anyway, so, you know, I'll compromise on that. We put a soda machine in and we did get a food truck, a food supplier that didn't work out. And we switched to another one and we were with them for many years through COVID, through the craziness of all that, right? And the wild thing is about that is that what people probably don't know is a lot of people do, but you know, now we have, I don't know how many followers we had then, we have like 30,000 collectively right now between Instagram and Facebook, but we were back whenever there was no beef in the stores,
mm-hmm.
we were selling beef from Trail Place Farm, our beef, out the window whenever we could, you know, they shut down the restaurants and it was just weird for a couple of weeks or whatever it was and all that. So we literally closed the restaurant, but had the window there in Greenville and we were selling ground beef for the price that we paid for it. Like, the exchange rate, whatever it was, like the processing of the card or whatever, you know, like a couple of dollars more or whatever. But you could get it in the store anywhere. We had a line all the way down Church Street of people lined up to get ground beef because we had it because it was local.
Right.
Nobody else had beef, oddly enough, but we did because we were getting it down the road. And for 6.5 years, knock on wood, we never missed a delivery, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they can guarantee it just as much as we can, right? They're guaranteed their money and they can plan on that just like we can make sure we have beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but that opened my eyes a lot during COVID about all this stuff, right? And I'm like, wow, supply chain issue. We'd never, you know, I'm 37, so I'd never seen something like that before. And I mean, we went through 9/11, all that, but nothing, you know, that changed everything too. But like this though, I saw a lot, you know, and then I saw prices get insane and prices are still insane and they're still blaming it on COVID.
Right.
And that's the problem I'm having now is that I'm telling people now that prices that you're paying right now this is the cheapest you ever pay for anything ever anymore. Like, and we vote with our dollars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to say it any other way, that if you don't like something, don't support it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like something, support it with your dollars. If you want other people to be using local stuff, let them know. You know, like, I don't understand why other people don't do. I do. I know why, because it's more expensive and they're, you know, but the quality is outrageously better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like speculative. They're hand selecting this stuff for us every time because these farmers, like, their reputation's on the line too, and they live down the road. And they're proud that we're talking, you know, we're putting on Instagram for 30,000 people.
Yeah.
That, you know, how great their product is and how much we couldn't do it without them and, you know, everything else. So.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, right? We vote with our dollars and we also make change with our dollars. So if we want those things, local supply chain, right? And we'll just use COVID as the continued example.
Sure.
If there was another situation like that, people in
Greenville. Let me stop you there. It's not if, it's when.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
make sure we're on the same page.
When that happens again, people in Greenville will know that they can come through your drive-through window and buy beef, right?
Yes, ma'am.
But if we don't support local farms now and we don't come here for dinner or lunch, and not just here, meaning Farm Fresh Fast, but other local places that are doing what you do or following in your footsteps, or we don't go to those farms and buy beef for our homes, that's not going to be available when this happens next time because we're not supporting them now.
That's a hard, you know, that's a hard reality. You know, that the hard reality is whenever, when I realize that people take price out of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I could sit here and talk for an hour on pricing, right? And that's a podcast in itself, right?
Yeah.
But knowing where your food comes from should be maybe one of the most important things in your life, honest to goodness, aside with your, because it has to do with your family. It has to do with everything, right? Because, you know, I have a 5-year-old and 9-year-old, and I'm very particular what they put in their bodies, right? And so they're going to make the easiest choice, right? They're, if you allow them, you know, as children to eat whatever, right? They're going to eat whatever, right? They don't know. You know, we have to be the educated ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of information out there about things that are outlawed in other countries that are not outlawed in the United States, which I don't even I understand, but I don't understand, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
But 7 years ago, I was showing people live videos from the farms and showing people the cows, the pigs, the chickens, the everything that we're sourcing and everything else. And I thought it was the coolest thing. Like, yeah. I loved it, right? I'm out there living my Jack Hanna life, right? Just, you know, wild kingdom kind of, you know, it's so fun. You're out there in the woods with all these pigs, and they're the most intelligent. People think, oh, they're just pigs. No, they're intelligent. They're super, super smart. And fact, the reality is that they have the best life where we source from. I can't speak for everybody, but again, you know, where we source from, these animals have the best life. And they have one bad day and they have no idea it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so people, I was showing people for the longest time, even Euphoria. If Euphoria, they never asked me to do it again, but they asked me to do social media. They want me to take over the social media, right? Because we're in one of the things.
Right.
And I was like, dude, I'm gonna take everybody to the farms, right? So I was going out there and I was live streaming with these pigs and chickens and everything and all this stuff. And I was like, and it was the most interaction they had ever had. On their social media, views, everything. Like, people were tuned in, and it was so fun. And I was just being me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but there were so many, there's, like, it's always, like, the snowflakes that have the loudest voice, it seems like, right? And they're like, you know, it has a face. What, you don't think the ones that are in the store don't have a face? You know, what are we talking about here? You know what I mean? Like, and it's a different animal. You know what I mean? Like, we do, I'm really big on the pedigree of everything, right? Like, you know, with pork, like, we use registered red wattle. Like, I even owned a breeding boar at one of the farms that we source from and that we used to source from. And it was so cool. And it is so cool.
Yeah.
And a lot of people love it, but there's so many, you know, and actually, you know, it actually led to a lot of good, though. I was showing everybody all this, and then the vegans got really upset, which I was like, what? You know, like, what are we talking about here? And then I didn't really understand veganism, right? Mm-hmm. And so I understood. I wasn't stupid. But I was like, hey, you know, why are these people mad? So I got a little committee of people I thought were the, you know, more influential vegans at the time in Greenville. And I sat down with them. We all had lunch together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, explain this to me. What's up? You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, damn, now I see why you're so mad, right? Like, I feel you, right? But my take on it was like, hey, look, I'm always going to show people what's up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not going to change. And you can protest me if you want to or whatever you want to do, right? But I'm going to do you some justice. I don't feel like you all are being done justice and probably why you're upset. So we started the no-kill menu. Mm-hmm. And so it was a completely plant-based menu. Nobody else in Greenville had one at the time. Now it's like the cool thing to have one, right? And I purposely named it the no-kill menu, made a lot of farmers mad that had animals, but whatever. But, like, you know, my farmers didn't care. It's just random people that are going to complain about anything anyway. But, and I got my point across for them too. Like, my point is, if you're going to eat meat, you should probably eat whatever we're sourcing from because it's done.
Right.
Correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to reference, go on our, and we still have, I mean, I used to post every day, every day for years, for like 5 or 6 of the 7 years we've been open.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just scroll, like, there's thousands of pictures on these, wild. But anyway, so we started doing that for them, right? And it's been great ever since then, right? I mean, you always want to have, you know, haters, you know, like I tell people all the time, like, dude, this isn't an agenda. This is just how I feel. Like, if you're going to eat meat, you should be eating ethically raised local meat. And I don't mean by what somebody says. I mean that you see it, like, you know, and you know, and you go out there and do your due diligence and you figure it out. And then, you know, because fun fact, people lie about stuff. I don't know if you ever knew that or not, but people lie about what they do. But anyway, like I said, if you're going to eat meat, then you should be eating the locally sourced, ethically raised meat. If you're not going to eat meat, I feel you. We're going to give you the best menu that's in Greenville. Right. And, you know, I feel like, you know, we've done a great job with that. We continue to strive to do better and everything. We make so much stuff in-house. I mean, we even make vegan cheese in-house, and we make vegan ranch in-house. And we've been told that we have the best vegan ranch on the market, including whatever's in the store. And I thoroughly agree, because I know what spices we use, and it's all about the quality and everything. We hand select everything, like from anything you eat at my restaurants, mm-hmm. it's all hand selected. Even like what, even if it's not locally sourced, whatever it is, like, we're not letting anything slide. You're not going to get a crazy, any bad anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're going through it, whatever, but with everything locally sourced, not only are the farmers hand selecting that stuff for us because they have pride in what they do, and that's something I feel like a lot of people forget about, is pride too. But also, we're taking that same product, which, you know, and going through it as well, but 99% yield out of that, right? Mm-hmm. In comparison to other stuff that, you know, we get money back on, because it's the quality's not there. It's just a product, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, what we get locally is a reputation, you know, and it's a brand. And this other stuff is just, you know, a product, you know, mm-hmm. it just happens to be lettuce that they threw into a random bag, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But I'm really big on the quality of everything. And that's been the hardest part, though, is selling a product with a restaurant, right? Like, the idea that people will look at our burger that's, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished. Fun fact that a lot of things are labeled as grass-fed or grain-finished. Have fun mm-hmm. with that. So a lot of people that have corn allergies, good luck with that.
But that's so important to talk about because, I mean, again, we could have a whole podcast just on that. Right. And
yeah.
Sure. And just the whole the health consequences long term for eating this mass produced factory farm.
Look, my great grandfather put out a full garden, like from here to that building over there.
Yeah.
Your listeners will not understand that, but a huge area of a farm. And he put it out till he was 92. Mm. He died when he was 96.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I learned about locally sourced whenever they had a pig, and I used to, and my favorite thing was to feed that pig, right? Well, one day that pig wasn't there, and we had sausage that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what happened? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was a harsh reality, right? But that's reality, mm-hmm. you know? And like I said, I don't know many people living to 96, you know? And then like, there's just so much, like, you know, I even hate that there's a time limit or anything on this podcast, because like, this is such a deep topic. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can scratch the surface and cover a lot of things, or you could dive deep for an hour and still not even scratch the surface on some things, you know. It just depends on what you want to look at, you know. And the hardest thing, though, like I said, is comparing products. Like, you know, like I stated before to you earlier, before we turn this on, that, you know, I don't know anybody else in the upstate South Carolina that you can come to, you can go to a restaurant on Thursday mm. and that animal, that burger you're getting ready to eat, was walking the day before.
Right.
Not sick, not, and I can make one phone call to the farmers and get the tag number off of the ear of that cow that's that burger in front of you, and I can give you the whole lineage behind that. Good luck at doing that anywhere else. So, that's the kind of quality, though, that we expect. Like I said, our beef doesn't leave the zip code until it comes to us. And that's when...
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want, like, that, if total hypothetical utopian world, let's say every restaurant tomorrow started doing what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
They start working with your farmers or other farmers that are coming up doing the same thing that your existing farmers are. If everyone started doing that tomorrow, sourcing locally,
mm-hmm.
the cost for those local things would either stabilize or go down, right? Because we're keeping all that money local. In theory, if we all could change tomorrow over a time period.
Probably not.
Why do you think not? Not stabilize if we're keeping all the money local? in a utopia. I'm not saying.
Right. That's hard. I live in such a hard reality that it's hard for me to even hear crazy ideas like that and be able to rationalize them. The reality is this, is that if everybody, this, like I said, I'm not ahead of my time. Like I'm just, for some reason in the upstate South Carolina, like just people aren't doing it, right? And I know why. It's cheaper to buy cheap because people look at products as products, right? Mm-hmm. The vacuum metal cups that are sold at Walmart, the Ozark Trail ones that keep your ice for 2 days. I don't even know why you need ice for 2 days in a cup.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, you got those, you got that brand at Walmart that costs $10, and you got these elaborate, same thing, just different colors Stanley mugs, and they're mm-hmm. like $80. And you, and these, they have people that have like eight colors of them, right? That's why it will never. That's why that'll never happen, because they both do the same thing, right? But this one, you know, you get enough behind, you know, there's a marketing behind the pretty shiny one that's $80. And so.
Sure. And there's always going to be like going out for a fancy meal that might cost you $200, $300 for two people because uh-huh. the ambiance, or it's on the water, or it does this, or it has that. Like, there's always going to be that for sure.
Fun fact, unless they're getting local, it's no different than I can get the same thing on our truck that anybody else does. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
for
I don't name the restaurant and I can have exactly the same thing they, but people can't get what we have. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Like only us and Swamp Rabbit Cafe use that beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if we were busy enough, then maybe we would be the only ones that would have that beef because there's only a certain, there's a ceiling. Because
they're only going to raise so much.
Sure. There was a ceiling whenever we decided for a second location.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That was the first phone call I made. Whenever I was like, hey, and they'll tell you.
Right, because they're not a factory farm where they're going to try to shove more cattle on land that can't support it.
Yes. Exactly. And that's the big thing, you know, like to ethically raise sustainable livestock, you have to have, there's a ratio, you know what I mean? Like 3 acres to an animal,
mm-hmm.
especially with bison, I think it's 3 to 1. And you're like, wait a minute. And then you look at lands, 10,000 ish, hopefully you're getting a good deal somewhere at 10,000 an acre now in 2024, but you're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, mm-hmm. why do you think stuff's so expensive? Right. But then when people are like, oh, well, I can just, nobody will know. We'll just throw all these animals onto like an acre of land and we'll just feed them corn and then they'll just live in their own crap their whole life. And then we'll sell it super cheap because, you know, and that's what happens, man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and listen, I'll say this. I can tell you that that will never happen, that utopia idea, because if it was going to, it would already happen. Now, here's my thing though. I do believe that more people, again, people vote with their dollars. If you want people, if you want your favorite local restaurant, McDonald's, they're never going to do this. I mean, just don't even, if they're corporate, don't even.
Yeah.
That's that. But like locally owned, like I understand why people aren't doing it because it's more expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, dude, you know, you have to stand for something, right? Like there's just, but here's where I'm getting at. If you go to a grocery store right now, and you get beef, and I'm not talking about this. Somebody like, oh, I'm getting 70-30. Do you think we're serving 70-30? No. At least an 85-15, 90-10. That's it. Tell me how much that costs per pound. Now, fun fact, you could get, welcome 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I probably pay less or maybe the same, maybe some more. I don't know, barely,
mm-hmm.
if that, for local beef that's raised ethically, sustainably, right down the road. But that's what's happened, is that people want to spend $80 on a Stanley cup, but they won't spend $15 mm-hmm. on a burger that goes inside their body.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like people don't realize that what goes in your body, it's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
And your body is your temple, right? And if you don't take care of it,
mm-hmm.
It's going up like, and when you, it's all makes sense and you realize who owns what. That's mm-hmm. all you have to do. Just follow the money. If you have a question about life, follow the money.
Yeah.
All you have to do, right? All you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So when you realize who owns what, and it's, you know, and you're like, oh, you mean that this entity owns this farming and they own pharmaceuticals too? Ah, and it all starts making sense, right?
Right.
And then whenever you're scratching this person's back and that person's, you know, and everything, it's all a vicious cycle. And mm-hmm. people don't, I don't understand. I don't know how people, like, people will go to a chain restaurant. Like, they will go, people, because it's products, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people can't differentiate between, like, I'm sitting here telling you that the Ozark Trail Walmart brand of these crazy cups, these vacuum insulated cups, does the same thing as the Stanley one. Mm-hmm. It's your ego that's getting in the way that you have to be cool in society, I guess, or whatever that means, right? Like, how I live my life is I look at somebody with that, I'm like, what? Why? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make me, it's like, you know, people will have $400 for a pair of shoes, but yet they're going to said fast food place and spending, how can you have a double cheeseburger for $3?
Right.
How can you get two for $3.50? How does that even make sense? Like, I can't even, you know what I mean? I can't get a pound of beef for that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you selling me a whole ass burger or two of them? Burger, whatever you want, you know. How can you do that? You know, that's like, I was approached the other day from a food distributor company, and they're like, hey, I just want to let you know there's this farm and it's here. It's in another area and they're raising beef just like your people are and everything. I was like, okay, what's the price? And they told me the price and I said, there's no way. Like, I don't care what you say, what they say, I will go to the farm and I will prove them wrong. Like, I'm that petty. Mm-hmm. I will drive states away to make a point that there's no way. I even brought up their beef farmer. I'm like, hey, look, I don't care. Just be honest with me. If you could do that, like, listen, I hope you make money on me. Like, I really, you know, that's what we're in this for, right? Support each other, right? Could you sell it to me for this price? And there's no way they could. Like, and she even broke it down. This is the process. This is what it cost, you know, and because there's a cost associated with quality.
Yeah.
There's always going to be knockoffs, right? Like these stupid bags and stuff. Like mm-hmm. people, this is how shallow our society is. People will go and they will buy knockoff bags of designer bags just to give the illusion that they, how delusional is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the same people that are spending $400 on shoes that won't spend money to use a quality oil mm-hmm. that you're not sludge. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's a whole thing. So,
and that's maybe that's where this conversation about food or corporate greed, it all goes back to that ego of people or money is the root of all evil, which has like been coming up a lot in conversations that I've been having on and off the podcast. Like,
it's propaganda is what it is. So we've been fed propaganda that a cow can be grown anywhere in the world, right? Third world country, first world country, right? Mm-hmm. As long as it is fed or processed inside the United States, it's packaged as USA beef. Make that make sense.
Right.
You going to tell me that country over there, the people that don't have, you going to tell me that they're raising the, all right, they have the same, okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the store and you're buying, they're not telling you this stuff, right? Because people, if you turn on the news today and they talked about this, nobody would buy it anymore. Probably people still probably would. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. that's how crazy our society is. But
it seems like more people do know this, but they keep doing the
because nobody
thing.
Else is doing it though. That's the thing. If it was easy, like that's why I've been trying. Our whole goal is to make farm to table food, healthy food, accessible to people. Now there's a cost associated with everything, and I can't give you all three. I can't be the best price, the best service, and the best quality. I can give you two out of the three, right?
Right.
Like I can give you what I do is I give you the best quality, mm-hmm. hands down, and the best service, hands down, mm-hmm. because I take care of my people here, right? Everybody here is paid adequately from the, either if they're 15 or 75.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is paid on the spectrum. And I have parents calling me, begging me to allow their kids to work here, right? Mm-hmm. Like tons. But
well, it's the triangle, right? It's like good, fast, or cheap.
Uh-huh.
And you can have two, but you can't have all three. So I exactly. can do, you know, good and fast, but I'm not going to give you cheap, right? Yeah. Like, that just is what it is. And so
there's a cost associated with everything. You know what I mean? So that's what's terrifying about all this. Like it's just not easily accessible. Let me get back to my point that mm-hmm. I was trying to make on this before I forget. When you go to a grocery store, the ground meat that you're buying is hundreds, plural, hundreds of animals in that grind. Mm-hmm. Okay. make that make sense, right? If they came out on the news and was like, hey, by the way, these are the living conditions these animals are in. They're standing in their own shit up to their knees, and they're walking around and barely, and they're sick, and they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's sad. Mm-hmm. Like, just go for the listeners, Google factory farming, factory cow farming, and just go to images and look at it. Like, it's pretty wild.
Those are real images. Yeah. I mean, it's not that, you know, and there's been documentaries done that people have watched.
Food Inc. Look at all of them. I don't understand. You know?
Yeah.
But we're showing what they want us to see, if that makes sense. So, like, of course nobody, because it's all owned by the same people. Do you think the people that own the farm are going to allow the people on the news? No, of course not, because they're owned by the same people. Mm-hmm. Like, again, do your research, follow the money, figure it out.
It's funny that we're talking about media. I didn't plan it this way, but I'm wearing a Free Press t-shirt, which is like a, you know, outside of the mainstream media company. And that's exactly why I follow them, because they're talking about stuff that they're not owned by a pharmaceutical advertiser or a food giant advertiser.
And that's why, though, that, and there's, the corporate greed runs real deep, like real deep. Like, the more of the Kool-Aid you drink, you know, the better the deal is. And that's what led to that post. Still on the first question you asked me an hour ago.
No,
that's
great. But this is what people, I think, need to hear, because I get as passionate about this as you do. And it's like refreshing for me to be like, oh, somebody else who's like fired up about this and gets it, right? And that's like willing to express it, because we need more voices talking about this over and over and over again, because we know just one voice talking about it's not enough.
Yeah.
And just one, like, what you're doing here is incredible, but just one person doing this is not enough.
No, and there's other people that are doing farm to table in the, I don't know. People say a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. But there are some people like that I know that are doing, you know, a lot of locally sourced things, and that's great. It's a weird thing. Like I said, like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I try to call myself hyper local, and I have for the longest time, because like, if I can't, I'm not driving 300 miles. I don't even know what the stupid thing is for local. Like, that's crazy. That's hours away. Like, that's not. Why would I drive hours away for beef when I can 20 minutes down the road? And that's the crazy thing, is that there are plenty of farms out here, and that people don't know, like, oh, I didn't even know they exist. Well, that's because they're a small family farm. They can't advertise like these, you know, conglomos, and they, you know, and they don't want them anyway, because they're not going to grow. They're not going to, you know, have added hormones. They're not going to, you know, give them all these antibiotics. They're going to be getting, you know, all this stuff. Like, they're not going to play by those rules. Right. Mm-hmm. So they don't want them. But they're, you know, I don't understand. I do, like I said, I do understand why people don't do locally, because it's cheaper. Like, and people look at just product. Why should I pay, you know, $4 more maybe per pound for beef when I could get it? I could make the same burger, because it's not the same. You know what I'm saying? Again, we're back to, I know that it looks the same. You put our burger, and you could have a 2-patty smash burger on a brioche bun, and you could both put them side by side, and they're going to look similar, right? Like, that's, you know, but it's what's on the inside, right? That's what counts. You know, people are like, oh, it's not matter what you look like. It's on the inside, right? Well, no, it really is. You know what I mean? Like, that's where that goes to. And if you look at them as just a hamburger, and you're just, that's how you're doing, that's just like saying, like, hey, man, I'm going to go buy a car, and you just point, I want that one. It had no idea about the gas mileage on it, or if it's a fit, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, nobody does that, but that's what people will do with food. And it's going inside your body, man. Yeah. Your body is breaking this stuff down. And it's wild that people just don't care. And people are like, well, I do care. Like, your dollars don't say that. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same people, you know, people don't realize, without getting too political on everything, you know, we're told from a young age that we vote for people, right? Or we have the right to vote or whatever. And we do have the right to vote. They just don't tell you what that really is. It's not on November that you go and somebody you don't ever meet or whatever.
Right.
You vote with your dollars, and you really do. Like, you know, like, I guarantee you, with your local place, if somebody really wanted to make a stand, right, and say, hey, man, I think everybody, I don't even know why we don't get tax, like, I don't get a tax break for anything here. I don't understand, but you know, like if there was incentive, maybe people started doing it, but like nobody's going to heads up consumers. Nobody, none of these people want to do it unless you ask them to do it until you identify that problem. Just like I wasn't going to, having a no-kill menu has been one of the best business decisions that I've made, but I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't listened, if I'd just been like, oh, these people suck and that's stupid because I'm not vegan or whatever, you know, like if I would have looked at it that way, then, but I, for whatever reason, my whole life, I've always tried to look on the other side of the coin, always with every decision that I make, like, huh, they're really upset. Let me figure out why, rather than just calling them crazy and stupid and whatever, like a lot of people do. I literally look at them like, oh, now I see why you're upset, you know. And it's a, such a small population. It's like 8% nationally that identifies vegan. And that's fine. But those are the most passionate 8% of people that you will ever meet. And they will, they dress all in green and they, and it's just wild. And they, you know what I mean? And they're, it, it's, you know, and there's many levels to it. Some people are like, you know, wearing like vegan leather or pleather or whatever it is. And they, you know, they don't do this and they'll eat honey and they don't do that or whatever. And I understand. But, and some people are only for the ethical treatment of animals, which is great too. And activists and stuff like that. But dude, you don't have to protest anywhere. Just stop. Just stop giving them money. You know what I mean? Like if you want people, if you want more, if you want Walmart to start having more options of cashiers, stop using self-checkout. Yeah. Stop using Walmart. What are we
talking
about?
Stop using Walmart. Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Like anybody, like it's, it, they will listen 100% on, because they have people that they make them listen. They're called stockholders, right? Shareholders. And so they have to produce for these people. And if they don't, that's a problem, right? So use that same ideology with anything else, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we had, after we started the no-kill menu, we had a vegan meetup. We had 120, I think it's 126, 126 or 129, 126 to 129 people that showed up for a vegan meetup all the way from Florida, drove from Florida up to our little restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina. We had people sitting outside. There was a place in the space next door. I had tables rented and stuff, and we threw, I took string lines like these, plugged them into the, ran an extension cord from my place to the next door with and strung these string lights up just to accommodate these people. Hundreds. Why would I not? Right. Like, I don't have an agenda. This, if I had 150, I've said this, if I had 150 people, 150 vegans that would come to my restaurant every day, I wouldn't serve meat again. This isn't an agenda. This is just, if you're going to eat meat, eat locally sourced, ethically raised meat. If you're not going to, that's fine. But here's the deal. I've created a restaurant, an experience where people that can eat meat or eat meat and people that don't eat meat can come in and have the best meal and feel good about it or whatever, you know, and they can and break bread with each other. You know, like people are so divided right now, right? Like it's just, I know this has nothing to do with the restaurant, but it's just people are so divided and pointing at each other and, you know, whatever. But like, we're not all that different. There, we're just, you know, there's just a lot of BS going on. Again, follow the money and it makes sense. But like, you know, I, if I had one thing to say to consumers, that whoever's going to listen to this or hear this, is that if you want something done, use your money to make it happen. You don't have to spend a dime. That's the thing. If you want, you know, like it, we have social media, like put it on. So, like, hey man, look, you know, I guarantee you that if you'd, you know, if you want something done like that, you stop going to these places or you stop, you know, whatever, or you say something or whatever, and it can't just be one person, then they're just the crazy person that screams or whatever, you know, it's got to be a collective of people. Right.
Right.
And some people won't, you know, and that's fine, but like, not everybody's going to do what I did. Not everybody's going to do the no kill. And not everybody's going to do that, you know, cause that's the hard part. Right. And that's what's made us successful the whole time, is that nothing what we do is easy. My God, we have an open kitchen. Nobody else has an open kitchen. I just want people to know that it's clean in there. I want people to see everything. We have nothing to hide. You want to see our oil? Let me show you our 100% pure avocado oil that we use for our dressings and for sauces and what we saute in, whatever. Like, let me show you this. Like, let me show you our beef. Like, I want to show you all this stuff, right? And here's our dish pit that's sitting right here that's not nasty, dirty. There's no, because we're constantly cleaning. We're constantly wearing, I spend thousands of dollars a year extra that other people don't. Dieck will tell you that you don't have to wear gloves if something's going to be prepared, right? Like cooked. I don't leave anything to interpretation.
Well, you bring up so many good points in what you're saying. And like we kind of said before, the problem is it's not just people.
Problem is we're fighting about stuff. We're not talking about main issues, right? Like we're not identifying the main issues of why are these companies still blaming COVID pricing on increased pricing? Like, that was 4 years ago, bro. Mm-hmm. And that's what, that's where the corporate greed comes in. And that's, we were with a food company, a food purveyor for years. And I drank most of the Kool-Aid about, whatever we can't get locally, we would get on that truck. Right. And the more, I don't want to get too deep on that, but I asked questions to the higher ups. I mean, I was on the phone with like three different people that didn't know who I was and I didn't know who they were. Right. Mm-hmm. But I raised enough hell to where I was like, hey, and the only answer I could get was, we're still having 4 years or so supply chain issues. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And that's why I keep saying, telling people like, look, you're never going to pay anything cheaper than what you're paying for right now. But why? Because you keep giving these people money. If you would stop giving these people money, that shit stops tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Mm-hmm. Like if you I promise you as a small business owner, if like enough people came to me, I was thinking gluten-free chicken tenders, but we have those now. But like, I don't know if somebody said, well, we don't like that gluten-free bun. I guarantee you tomorrow I'll have samples of gluten-free buns from all kinds of places.
Yeah.
Cause I'm here to provide for my family. I'm not here, these food purveyors and food truck, I don't say food trucks if people don't understand what I'm talking about, but people that bring products to restaurants to use, they're in the back pockets of all mm-hmm. kinds of people. And mm-hmm. certain people own certain places and stuff, and they want you to drink the Kool-Aid. They want you to get everything from them because that's how they make, and they'll give you a rebate program and stuff. And that was the thing, like, it was a big eye-opener too. They're like, hey, we're going to put you in a rebate program. Well, we'll give you a certain percentage back. Well, and I'm just going to make these up. I don't know. But if I'm paying 10% over cost, or if I'm paying 10% over what I should be, and you're giving me 4% back, what's happening right now? I'm still paying 6% over what would, don't act like you're doing me a favor. But there's stupid people out there that sip that Kool-Aid, and that's what they do. And they have, and I did for a while, that's a whole other podcast too. Yeah. Like that whole, we're just scratching the surface on so many things, and that's why I want to do my YouTube channel and stuff, is because I don't want to talk negatively about anybody. I never will. I'll never name drop anybody. I'll never speak negatively about a restaurant or a restaurateur or anybody like that ever.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to show people what we do and pose the question why others aren't doing that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, why does nobody else have open kitchens? Right. Because there's some nasty shit that happens back there. Yeah. I promise you. Mm-hmm. Because I worked in restaurants when I was in college. I've hired other people that have worked at other restaurants. And it's crazy. Mm-hmm. In places that you wouldn't think. I mean, this stuff, most stuff's public knowledge on DF reports. But that's that's another thing, too. And that's, mm-hmm. that's deeper than we'll go to. But,
Because I know we could talk about this for hours, and I hope that me and you can get together and do this again. I think it'd be fun 100%. To bring in some of our past guests too. But what's the initiative that you're going to launch that's going to kind of address some of this corporate greed or bring more attention to it? And it's what I like that you're doing is you're not going after these other people or things, like you said, right? You're not name dropping, you're not talking poorly about anybody else, but what you're doing is calling more attention to what you're doing and saying, hey, check out what we're doing. Now you piece it together. Who else is doing this? Or how else could you do this the way we're doing it? So what's your initiative to combat this?
I like to think that I'm setting the example. Mm-hmm. I'm not the first one. I'm not a pioneer in this. Like mm-hmm. there's people, other people that have done farm to table, that do farm to table. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but I've got a damn good one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's pretty efficient, I think the biggest thing for me, though, was people aren't treating people right. Like, truly, people aren't paid adequately in our industry. because people aren't will like people. I don't know what the people like. Again, people have $80 all day long for one single mug. You know what I mean? But they don't have $80 to you know, spend on healthy food. You know, and I understand stretching everything, and I understand the times are hard and everything, and for everybody, you know, and but that's why that you know, we're trying to address that issue. And I feel that I truly believe, and I stand by this, that nobody else in the upstate, I'll say upstate, I don't know anywhere else. I keep blinders on. I just keep moving forward. Right. But we're the only people we will have the biggest impact with this, with our blessing meals. You know, what I decided was that, you know, they ever had a bad day. Come get a free meal. No questions asked, right? Like, you don't have to be destitute. You could, if you could be in a three-piece suit, whatever. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here for my purpose, I feel like, of providing, right? And helping, right? So, and initially it was, the initiative was like, hey man, there's a lot of people out here that need access to healthy food, right? And healthy is the most, overused, broad,
corrupted
word. Is a great word, term, right? Just as much as pharma type, right? Like, they're both like just, you know, villain arc thing, you know what I mean? But what I decided with these blessing meals was like, hey man, check this out. So what if, you know, people, like I said, people, you always hear about people paying it forward in these, you know, chain coffee shops. Like with $8 coffees and crazy drinks and stuff like that. Like, you're like, oh, somebody paid for my coffee. That's super nice. And that's nice. But like, you probably couldn't afford that, right? Like, when you're there, right? Like, if you're in line, you know how much that is, right? Like, you probably got it. You know, that's a very nice gesture. But I'm talking about like helping people. You know what I mean? Like, that don't have access, right? And there's so many people in the upstate that have, that don't have access to healthy food. And I've been, and that's what I was speaking on, that, you know, I know I'm not the only one that sees it. Listen, I could drive you down any road in Simpsonville, wherever, you know, and you just have to have the eye. You just have to know what to look for, right? If you either have seen some stuff or you haven't, and you've either been through some stuff or you haven't, right? You either know what to look for or you don't know what to look for, right? So we've been feeding impoverished people in Greenville for a long time. Whenever these festivals come to downtown Greenville, and these people are no longer allowed to sleep there, and they can't be seen, they're shunned from society, where do you think they go? You ever thought about that? A lot of them come to us. And you can ask my executive chef, Eric, that's been with me for years, and the executive chef before that, that was on the same page. Anybody that's ever wanted food, what they can have food. This blessing program is just something outward to other people, you know,
to encourage the rest of us to come down and contribute.
Because I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, this, it's on my dime, right? Like, all that kind of stuff. That was just out of, you know, I never want to turn somebody away that can't afford food. What are we talking about? You know what I mean? Like, again, my whole goal with this is to bring the human back to humanity. Like, it's just people. And I tell people, or my employees all the time, I'm like, hey man, no matter what, be nice to people. You never know what's going on in these people's lives, or, and I don't know what's going on in your life or your, but we're here, you know, we have food, which is the best medium in the whole world. It speaks to every race, religion, ethnicity, geographic location. It speaks to everything, right? It's food. You know, we used to, we used to gather all around, like, I'm from the South. Like, that's, that was like the focal point of whatever the hell we were doing, right? Like, you know. We were going to grandma's every Sunday, and the whole family was coming over, and it was a joint effort, and we fellowshiped together, and we hung out, and that doesn't happen anymore. And family, you know, so, and something has to change. I will say that, like, something will have, like, we can't, as a society, sustain how everything's going right now, you know. And I'm not trying to get political. I don't care, and I don't about any of that. I'm just saying, like, from a food standpoint, food quality, pricing, it's about to be a rough day, okay? And, you know, like, it really is. So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, the only thing that I can say is that, you know, again, use your dollars. You know what I mean? If you really want people, talk about it too. And, you know, in these Simpsonville residents page, I really hate to, you know, that's just a local Facebook group or whatever. Put it out there. You know what I mean? Like, talk about it. You know what I mean? Ask questions. If I have one thing, again, use your dollars to vote. Ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
There should be nothing that people won't answer, right? Like, they might not give you the exact recipe how to do stuff, but they should tell you everything that's in there, right? And they should, you know, you should ask questions. Don't take stuff for face value, because there's not everybody out here is out for your health and your best interest. And they're going to sell you whatever it is, even if it's, you know, poison or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? So think about that.
Thank you so much for joining me. We definitely have to do this again.
Absolutely.
And we'll dig into other topics. But for me, this was super cathartic because it's stuff that I'm venting about in my own kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And thinking about. And so one, it's good to meet like-minded people. And that's sure. part of what this podcast is about. But also to get the word out about, hey, really consider not only what you're putting in your body, but how you're treating local small business and who you're voting for with your money when you buy Absolutely. Anything.
Absolutely. Eat local. Please eat local. Love on your local farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, love on these people that are out here just providing for their family. Understand that they're just like you. We're all in this together, and all ships rise with the tide. So, you know,
I love that.
Be good to each other.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Time. Yes, ma'am.
Ready yet to vote with your dollar? It will take more than a few of us to start making an impact. We have been divided by political lines to not be able to come together on topics like this. And perhaps the machine, the propaganda of convenience, is too big a ship for us to turn. But I will continue to address corporate greed and the dangers and, truthfully, the evils of factory farming, in hope that more of us will start buying from farmers down the street and business owners we know. Don't forget, you vote with your dollar. Thank you for joining me in conversation. To learn more about the show or to support our efforts to elevate our local economies by advertising or sponsoring the show, please visit conversationmill.com. The business practices discussed on the podcast and the opinions shared by guests and your hosts are for entertainment and educational purposes only and does not constitute professional advice. There are no silver bullets in business or life, and what works in one market may not work in another. Always engage legal or expert advice when making decisions in your business.